The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I invite the young people to come forward for children's message. Some people are faster than others. There are others still coming. Of course, maybe if you sat at the back, you'd be slow too, right? Come on and have a seat. And I need to get someplace where the sun isn't in my eyes. That's tough to find someplace there. The scripture said today, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Think about that, that our body is the temple. And the temple was the place where people would go to give praise and thanks to God, that in Jesus, that focus changed from that temple to our bodies. Huh? Let's think about the things that we do to praise and give thanks to God when we gather on Sunday morning. What are some things you do with your body when you come and worship? Huh? Any idea, something that you do to praise and give thanks to God? What do you think, Lexi? What? You sing. Okay, sing. That takes your whole body to do it, huh? I notice my cold that's still hanging on makes it harder for me to breathe fully, to sing, huh? But yeah, that's a very bodily kind of thing that we do as we sing. What else do we do? What are you doing right now? Sitting. You are sitting. That's something what we do. What else do we do? The opposite of sitting is standing. Okay, that's a very physical thing. We sit when we're listening for God's word, and we stand generally when we're addressing God, when we're saying something to God in the worship service. Okay, what else? What else do we do? Walk. When do we walk?
When it's time to shake and hug everybody.
Okay, so when we share the peace, huh? We fist bumps, elbow bumps, hugs. I've even seen people out there who kiss each other during the sharing of the peace, huh? Yeah. So it's something that we do with our bodies to give praise and thanks to God. And we also have a little meal, bread and wine. That's a bodily kind of thing that we do, that Jesus comes to us in that bread and wine.
You can hug your little brother
in worship too, to give praise and thanks to God. Okay, that seems like a good place to end it with today. Just know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. You can praise and give thanks to God wherever you are. Amen. You can return to your seats. He's going to stay up here with me, I guess. When it was announced that my camp companion was Ron, those who had been to camp before had a smile on their faces. It was the kind of smile that made me wonder, what had I gotten myself into? It was my first week of being a camp companion at Handicamp, a church camp experience for adults with developmental disabilities, and every camper was assigned a camp companion, and you spent 23 hours a day for 5 days with that person. Ron was my camper, and Ron was slow. Not just slow mentally, but slow in movement. It was 45 minutes from the time I first told Ron, it's time to get up, until feet hit the floor. And he was slow like that, doing all kinds of things. Now, Don Bowden, who is the camp director, said, sometimes the camper and the companion match is one that really is good for both of them. It's exactly what they each need. And what Ron forced me to do was to live life at an entirely different pace than what I was used to. It was hard. It would be kind of boring, and my work was to try and get Ron involved in the activities of the week. Well, the short story is, by the end of the week, Ron was smiling more. We actually had him dancing of sorts. That means he was moving his body to the rhythm of music. And I had learned to live at a slower pace. When I put Ron on the van where he was going back to the home where he lived, I had this pang of concern that I had just put him into the hands of a van driver who doesn't know him. During that week, I had learned those things that made Ron anxious. I had learned the things that comforted him. I had learned how to say things to him so that it would be helpful for him. And now I was putting him on this van with somebody who totally didn't know him. And I was concerned. I think it's kind of like when you're a parent and you send your child off to school the first day. It's like, they don't know my child yet. I had that kind of concern. But I was comforted simply by the fact that I knew that God knew Ron and that God would be with him. God sends people into our lives to call us into a living relationship with God and calls us to grow in that relationship. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." This word of God incarnate, this King of Kings and Lords of Lords, who came in the flesh, sought out Philip to say, "Follow me." And Philip then found Nathanael. And he said, "We have found the one who found us. We have found Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth." And Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip simply responds, "Come and see." What a great invitation that is. Come and see. It's a great invitation for anyone skeptical or not about Jesus. Come and see. Each of us here is here because someone invited us into the kingdom of God, invited us into the love of God. For many of us, that invitation occurred through parents who had us baptized into Jesus as infants, and we were nurtured in the faith by our parents and by a faith community. For still others, it was that you met somebody and fell in love and decided this was a more permanent relationship you wanted to have, and that drew you into the relationship of faith. Or for still others, there was a simple invitation that somebody gave you some time ago. Maybe it was something like, we have a choir. Would you like to sing in the choir? Or yet others, it was maybe just you wandered into a worship service one day, not knowing what was going on, and were welcomed by that congregation. Whoever it was, and whatever that means of grace was that can't, we have come to experience the call of God in Jesus. And that call is very simple. As Jesus said to Philip, follow me. Now, I believe that this call is a universal one. That is, that God wants everybody to follow Jesus. And so the invitation goes out. It goes out throughout all the world to come. Follow Jesus. Yet God does not force following Jesus upon us. It's the nature of faith. This is a relationship of love, and love can't be coerced in us. Notice that neither Philip nor Nathanael are coerced either by fear or reward in the invitations that are given. What Jesus found in both of them was a heart ready to follow him. And that was most important. That was the heart that responded to a simple invitation. Come and see, follow me. Now, key to this gospel reading is Jesus knowing Nathanael. Nathanael asked Jesus, where did you get to know me? And Jesus responds, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, what in the world does that mean? Does that mean Jesus was passing by and he saw Nathanael once sitting under a fig tree? That probably wouldn't constitute knowing somebody. You might know where you've seen them at, but doesn't quite constitute knowing in the way that it seems to impress Nathanael. The expression, sitting under a fig tree, portrays a place of peace and prosperity, of safety and contentment. So the expression, sitting under the fig tree, really refers not to a place, but to a state of being. It was well with Nathanael's soul. He could say that he was dwelling in a time when he was at peace and content and secure. He was not in any particular need. And I think that's significant here. He was not in any particular need when Jesus called him. And yet he was able to respond to that call because Jesus knew the state of his being. This knowing by Jesus seems to be the very springboard that enables Nathanael to make the confession, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. So Jesus knows us even before he called us. Think about that Jesus knows us, knows our joys and sorrows, our failures and frustrations, our strengths and our weaknesses. We cannot deceive him by pretending to be something else, because he knows us and he issues the invitation. Jesus knows how sin breaks us and pollutes our lives. He knows those things of which we are most ashamed, and he knows those things in which we take great delight. And yet, he calls us, "Follow me." Jesus knows us, and so he brings people into our lives to help us to grow in faith and love, to help us to grow in what it means to be disciples. And through those with whom we are gathered, we receive what we need for faith and life. We are called. We are called by the love of God to follow Jesus and to embody the kingdom of God. That's enough for today, to just hold on to the fact that we are called. Next week, I want to speak a little bit more about the nature of this call for all Christians. Amen.